You need the bracha of Hashem. Without the bracha, you're walking by yourself, the road is very, very bumpy. And the bracha you first get by doing tshuva in the month of Elul, then you get the bracha on Rosh Hashanah, then on Yom Kippur your sins get atoned, then you're accepting a little bit of Yesurim, then you take a lot of time in Sukkot to have a lot of simcha, because the simcha really annuls it. You come to Yom Kippur, this is not a shiur about Yom Kippur, but for you to have a little bit of an insight. You come to Yom Kippur, you fast, you suddenly become very generous with your money, you buy everything, you pray, you do everything you need to do, because you want to be forgiven. Then in the heavenly court, they say, we forgive you, you're a very good boy now. Now there's judgment, now you have to pay for what you did with Yisurim. Then Hashem says, you know what, I'm going to give you a whole week. If you are going to be dancing all week in Simchat Bet HaShoevah and you're going to have a lot of Simcha, for every step that you're going to be dancing in Simchat Bet HaShoevah, I'm taking off 100 smacks of hardship. This is the week you're sweetening the deal in Simchat Bet HaShoevah. You go and dance every day and every day you do a fancy Seuda in your Sukkah and you make a big party. You take a whole week. It's a festival. In Hebrew, we call it Moed. In English, you call it a festival. You know, festival is a festive time, and you have a lot of fun, and you take this week in the Sukkah, and you play music, and you eat, and you make big meals, because every second of Simcha, you are annulling all these Yisurim that are supposed to come on you. You can take it off. In one night of Simcha Torah, that you're dancing around the Bama with the Torah, but you really dance with simcha, real simcha. If you need a little bit of vodka, that doesn't matter. As long as you have real good simcha, because this is the time when Hashem tells you, I don't want to put Yesurim on you. I don't want to put you now through boot camp. I'll give you a discount. Just be happy. Just be happy. Even do it Hashem besimcha. You're serving Hashem besimcha. You're accepting everything. A call, everything is happy with a smile. You're not going to have any problems. Hashem will remove all the Yisurim, all the hardship. So you have one day of judgment and 8 days of festive. You go and you do whatever you can in those 8 days to be as festive as you can. I don't know if there isn't a word to say festive, but you know what I mean. You make simcha all day long. You have a sukkah all day long, 8 days. You're sweetening the dinim. If you know, if you remember, some of you who pray on Hoshana Rabbah at the end, I don't know all the Edot if they do it, but the Arizal says you take the Hoshanot and you smack them on the floor. Why? Lamtik et adinim, to sweeten the judgment. You take the Hoshanot after you did the whole week of Hoshanot, of Hoshana, all the circles. Then on Hoshana Rabbah you do all the Hakafot. At the end you take the Aravot out of the Lulav and you smash them on the floor with all the Lotzit Kol Atzabim, all the anger. Why? You're sweetening the judgments. You have 8 days to sweeten all the judgments for the entire year. For the entire year. You don't get Yisurim, you know, for something you will do. It's all retroactive.
I have a question. Whatever they keep, whatever you just said, why they keep that whole year and then they burn it again at Pesach?
Why do they do it?
Yeah, why they put it on top of the whatever?
Because what?
Keep that on
the Passover. Yeah, I keep my lulav, I keep my etrog. The thing is that chametz represents your ego, your metziut, me being something. But the whole point of chametz, the whole holiday of Pesach, is to make you this, like that. Why? Because the opposite of chametz, I don't know how you say it in English, it's the dough that rises, right? The chametz doesn't rise. The rising of the dough represents my ego, what's called metziut, my yesh. I did it. Wait, I'm going to explain to you. That's what I'm explaining to you. So the chametz represents you totally, totally diminishing your ego. You're making yourself this small. The smaller you make yourself, the more of a vessel for you to receive this godly revelation. That's why it says about Moshe Rabbeinu that he was the greatest humble man. He was the most humble man ever. Because he was so humble, he was able to get the level of prophecy that even Mashiach is not going to have the level of prophecy that Moshe Rabbeinu has. Moshe Rabbeinu is the greatest prophet that will ever be. Why? Because he was very, very humble. Now, when you take these aravot that represent also your ego, and you smash them on the floor, and the whole entire year you put them above the Torah separates your ego from, takes your ego away. Take my ego the whole year. I don't want my ego. I don't want my existence. I don't want my mitziut. Why? Because you go now, not you, but a person goes now and make a deal, makes $50,000, he doesn't say, oh, Hashem may give me the bracha. I did it. This is called kochi ve'otzim yadi. I made it. When you take these aravot that symbolizes all these dinim, you smash them, you smash your ego, you smash your mitziut. You say, I want to be totally annulled to Hashem. I want to be a channel that Hashem just gets dressed in me, and whatever Hashem tells me to do, I'm do. I'm just like a puppet here. And then you take it and you put it above the Torah, meaning that the Torah completely separates from you.
It's supposed to be above Torah or above the Torah?
No, above the... You put it above the Aron Kodesh. Nothing is above the Torah. You put it above the Aron Kodesh. Why? It signifies you can't even reach it. It's disconnected from you. And then so much more so, you burn it with all the chametz, so you completely diminished your mitziut, your ego, your essence. Which is, this is the biggest stumble block to any person. A person cannot become an Eved Hashem, a high-level servant of God, if he has ego. Any great rabbi that reaches great heights cannot have an ego. You know, there's a special story, the famous story, that one of the disciples of the Arizal, you have to understand, the disciples of the Arizal were tzaddikim that we cannot even understand what it means. Each one of them was like a pillar. One of them was giving a class in depth of Kabbalah. And the Arizal was sitting there, and all the rest of the disciples, the Talmidim, Rabbi Chaim Vital, and all, and he was giving over the class. The class was so deep that suddenly Avraham Avinu walks into the room and sits down. He wants to hear the Chiddush. And then Yitzchak walks in. And then Yaakov walks in. And then Moshe Rabbeinu walks in. Everybody, Aaron, everybody, they're all starting, all the greatest tzaddikim walk into the room. And they sit there. Now the people in the room don't see them. The Arizal is able to see everybody. The Arizal sees everybody. And suddenly, they all get up and they leave the room. And the Arizal sees it. The Arizal was able to look at a person, see everything, all his gilgulim, everything. And the ones who were able to see that, they couldn't understand. Wait a minute. Ma. 1 second, all the great neshamot of all the tzaddikim enter the room to hear the chiddush, and then they leave. The Arizal says, he explained to his disciple, up until a certain point, you were so annulled, you were so batel, you were so humbled that you became a channel for Hashem to talk through you to bring down this chidush in Kabbalah. For 1 second, you had a spark of a little bit of an ego. Wow, look what I just taught them. 1 ounce of ego, they all had to leave the room. Hashem left the room, everybody left the room. So the great tzaddikim, they don't have an ego. They don't have any metziut. They're nothing. In order for me to be completely a vessel to receive God's wisdom and God's light, I have to completely annul myself. That's why you see the great tzaddikim, they're simple, house is simple, nothing materialistic, they barely eat, they don't sleep. Why? They're disconnecting themselves from the world. They don't have, why do they disconnect themselves from the world? Because when I enjoy the pleasure of the world, I'm feeding my ego. I don't need to eat a steak. I can eat a piece of bread. I don't need to drive a fancy car. I can drive a regular car. I don't need to have a nice house. I need just a place to put my head on. The more I enjoy from this world, I'm pumping my mitziut, my ego. A great rav, a great tzaddik cannot have it. That's why you see the great tzaddikim, they're so humble and simple. So when we're not in that level, so we have to do all sorts of little remedies. So when I'm taking that, and for the whole year, I'm putting it high. Because what do I look up to? I want to look up to the Torah. And then I'm seeing my ego even further than that. So I said, okay, let's forget the ego this year. Don't talk about, don't deal with your ego. And then when it comes to actually to burn the chametz, meaning to burn any little, the last crumb of my ego, of my, I'm saying ego, but I, it's more like my metziut, that I'm something. Then I burn it, then I burn also the aravot with it. Pesach is a very special time. If a person, the Rizal says, if a person is very, very careful in Pesach, with every little thing, he's guaranteed he's not going to sin the entire year. If a person is particular with a microscopic crumb and everything, you know, fanatic, peeling tomatoes, chas v'shalom, that the chametz didn't touch the skin, going fanatic, the Rizal says he's guaranteed he's not going to sin the entire year. Try that once. Go once berserk. Go cuckoo on Pesach 1 year. You'll see. Women too. Why women are different from the men? Women have to be more fanatic. Why not men? But yeah. I'm saying women are more fanatic because women usually are the ones who clean and cook. I don't know many men that actually scrub the floors. But the reality is men or women. Arizal says if you are extremely machmir and particular, machmir means very, very particular, muvtachlo. He's guaranteed. He's not going to sin the entire year. Pesach is a very powerful time because you're really diminishing your metziut. The more you pump, your metziut is existence, is a selfness, ego. The more you pump it up, then you are becoming a metziut. God cannot dwell with you. That's why every time that there was a problem with Am Yisrael, the Shekhinah would remove from the tabernacle. Hashem, in order to dwell in you, Hashem tells you, "Asitim li mikdash v'shachanti betocham." If you want me to dwell in you, your body, your house, your business, your mind has to be a mikdash, a temple, pure. Then I'll dwell in you. You have a pure home, no nonsense, mezuzot, books, Shabbat, everything is perfect. It becomes a mikdash, a temple. Then Hashem can come in and dwell. There's no mikdash in the house, Hashem cannot dwell. And the mikdash can be your mind, can be your business, can be your pocket, can be your mouth. This is the mikdash where Hashem dwells in it. And Hashem will only dwell b'makom shel bitul. That's why the Baal Shem Tov and Bechlal, the entire Torah of Hasidut is constantly, you know, batel tatzmecha, make yourself more and old, more and old. Why? But you're becoming a greater vessel to receive more and more. That's why the great, great, great tzaddikim, the mekubalim, why they get all these epiphanies, because they totally annul themselves. That's why they're a vessel to get this godly revelation. There's a very famous story, I don't know if you heard, there's a very famous rabbi, his name is Rabbi Ashlag. He's called Baal HaSulam. They have a whole yeshuv in Israel. It's a whole like movement, like you have Breslev, you have Chabad, you have Vishnitz, whatever. They're called Baal HaSulam. This is a very special rabbi. And he took the Zohar and he wrote an interpretation. It's called the Baal HaSulam. The Sulam. Like Sulam is like a ladder. Long, excuse me?
I have it in English.
You have it in English? I didn't even know it's translated.
Maybe not that one, but a book that interprets the...
Could be. No, he took the entire Zohar. You're talking about like 40, 50 books. I'm sure there's maybe some translation. But Baal HaSulam, he interprets the Zohar in a very special way. But why am I telling you that? Because he was a very, very great rabbi. But he tortured himself. He begged Hashem for years. I wanna get something special here. Send me a messenger. And he fasted for months. And he did sigufim and taniyot, all sorts of torturing himself and studying Torah all day long. And one day, out of the blue, Hashem sends him a messenger, knocks on his